not only in Philemon, it is Philemon, it's one chapter, page 1200 in the church Bibles. 1200 is the page number. Just one chapter, so if you're too quick in turning the pages, you'll go over it. But it falls just before Hebrews. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. The epistle to Philemon, we'll read the whole letter together. Let's hear the word of God. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me, as that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while, was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We thank the Lord for his word this evening. Let us stand to sing our second hymn before we consider the passage in Philemon, which we just read from in God's word, Philemon. And this evening we're just going to consider the first few verses in that epistle, particularly up to verse 7. Verses 4 to 7, but just that first little part of this letter. With God's word open before us, let us just ask the Lord's help as we consider his word. Heavenly Father, as we have your word open before us tonight, we thank you that we do have it open before us. We have it translated into English, which we can understand. We have freedom to read it without fear of persecution. And you have preserved your word through the ages. And Lord, you speak through that word to us. And Lord, we do pray tonight that we would have understanding and ears to hear. Lord, that your Spirit would come amongst us and bring that word to bear in our lives. So help us tonight, Lord. We stand in need and we rest upon you. Bless this time and encourage your people and build up your church, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking about refreshment. That's really the subject tonight we're going to be thinking about. Refreshment and having a refreshing life. We think of refreshment, we may have different things come to our minds. And to be refreshed is something we all need and look forward to, isn't it? We think already now in February of perhaps our summer holiday vacation. And already perhaps we're thinking 2 months has already happened in this year. I need that holiday break. I need that time of refreshment. A time away to recharge and recover, to be renewed and to regain strength, to rest, refreshment. Each week we have a weekend, don't we? And it's a time, it should be a time of refreshment. That rhythm in life as we come together as the church. One of the benefits of meeting together once a week is to have that rhythm of refreshment and rest as we come together and hear God's word and rest in our Saviour together. Refreshment. Even having a glass of cool water can be that refreshment that we need. And in verse 7 in this epistle, we see this, which the Apostle Paul says to Philemon. Your love, he says, has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. You have refreshed the hearts of the saints. What does this mean? That Philemon was a refreshment to other people. As we've said, refreshment is to be at rest. It is to have that time of rest and to be given relief and to be encouraged. The word has in its essence the thought of an army marching and then coming to a stop and resting. You can imagine, can't you, the Roman armies moving through the desert, the hot and dry desert, and then coming to that place where they pitch up and rest. That's the thought that's captured in this word of refreshment. And Philemon's life was a refreshment to others. But why was his life a refreshment to others? Why was his life a means of refreshing other Christians? Well, the answer we'll see is his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for others. It produced this life of refreshment. His faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for others produced that life of refreshment to others. And so too, ours, our lives here this evening, our lives are meant to be refreshing to other believers, to other Christians, to others. And so that's our subject tonight, that we would have that refreshment and be a refreshing to others. Let's just think about Philemon, and I've got here 90 seconds. It worked at home anyway. Hopefully it worked tonight. We're going to give you a quick synopsis of Philemon so you know what we're talking about. So 90 seconds, here we go. Written by Paul the Apostle. He was a prisoner in Rome, and he writes to Philemon, who is a leader in the church at Colossae. It's written about 60 or 62 AD. Around the same time as the letter to the Ephesians and Colossians was written. And they were probably sent together by the same person. The background to this letter is that Philemon's slave Onesimus had run away. He'd probably stolen from Philemon. He'd gone away. And there, by the grace of God, he comes into contact with the Apostle Paul in Rome. And here, he hears the gospel. He's converted, and he begins to help Paul while he's in that prison house in Rome. And the purpose of this letter is Paul is trying to convince, or seeking to convince Philemon to give Onesimus, to forgive Onesimus, and to accept him back as a brother in the faith. And the theme of this letter is the power of the gospel to transform lives and to impact relationships. The letter has a very simple structure. We have the introduction, the greetings, verses 1 to 3. We have the thanksgiving and prayer in verses 4 to 7. And then we have Paul's appeal to Philemon for Onesimus in verses 8 to 20. And then at the end we have the personal remarks and the final greetings, verses 21 to 25. That's Philemon. I think I went over 90 seconds there, but it's a quick synopsis of the letter. So we have an idea of what this letter is for, what its purpose was, and the background to it. We're going to think just about this idea of refreshment from these opening verses. And the first thing I like to we see here in verses 4 and 5 is a shared life. Refreshment comes from a shared life. Verses 4 and 5, Paul says, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints." Your love for all the saints. So the Christian life is not to be a life lived in isolation. Not to be isolated Christians living on our own and not attending together the community of the church. The Christian life is to be lived together as the church on earth. We are to share together and to have fellowship together. This letter written to Philemon is written to an individual, yes, Philemon, but it's also written to others, as we saw in the opening verses. It says, firstly, to Philemon, our dear brother and fellow worker. And then it goes on to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Yes, on the one hand, Paul is writing to Philemon to exhort him to receive Onesimus back, but he also writes to other individuals and also the church that meets together. And no doubt this letter wasn't just a letter that Philemon read on his own in his own private time. It was something that was opened up and read before the whole church. Everyone in the church shared in this situation as Philemon was called to receive Onesimus back. The church met together and shared together their life. We see this shared life as a life shared by prayer. As Paul says in verse 4, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers." Paul prays and remembers Philemon in his prayers. A prayer that is thankful. As Paul gives thanks to God in response to thinking about Philemon and his life, he thanks God. He thanks God for knowing Philemon. No doubt he thanks God for his salvation. He thanks God for his faith, his life, his ministry, and his love for others. But this prayer of Paul is a prayer that's interested in others. As he hears about Philemon, he is interested in him. Paul is interested in their well-being. He's interested in this character of Philemon. You think how busy Paul was as he travelled and he did his ministry journeys. But now he's in Rome and he's in that prison house in Rome, some 1,000-odd miles away from where Philemon was. Now that there's lots of things going on in Paul's life and many things are on his mind as he thinks about the various congregations he has started, the many people that he has been influenced by and who he has influenced, and yet he thinks about this one individual, Philemon, and he's interested in him. He's interested in him. The commentators talk about where did Philemon actually come into contact with Paul, and they try to deduce this looking back at the story as it's unfolded in through Acts and the epistles. And it's thought that he probably met Paul some 10 years earlier and was probably again saved under his ministry. It's quite a time away, isn't it? 10 years, and yet Paul still remembers him and prays for him and thanks God for him. It says in verse 4, "I remember you in my prayers always, as I always thank God in my prayers." It's a challenge to us, isn't it? How that Paul thought about Philemon and prays for him regularly in this way. How do we bring people into our prayers as we pray for others. A life shared by prayer. We also see this life shared by faith. As Paul acknowledges Philemon's testimony, as he says in verse 5, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus. He hears about Philemon's ongoing walk with the Lord, his faith and his love. It's a faith that's known, isn't it? Philemon lives out his faith as he works there in Colossae. It's not hidden away. It's clear and it communicates and it's heard by Paul while he's in Rome. There's many miles away, some thousand miles away. Paul hears about Philemon's faith and rejoices in that. Thanks God for it. It's a faith that's shared by Paul in Rome, by all those who come together as believers. A Christian life is a life shared. We share that life, don't we? In our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a life and a faith that transforms our lives. It changes us as we put our faith and our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are transformed and changed. And we grow together as we share that faith. It's a life shared by prayer. A life shared by faith. It's a life shared by love. Again, Paul speaks of that love that's known. I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Philemon's love for others speaks and goes out. It's consistent with his faith. And it's a loud love that Philemon has, because again, Paul hears about this in Rome. It brings great comfort and joy to Paul as he's there in that prison. It's a love shared by Paul. Paul has that love as well for others. As he loves the Saviour, so he loves the church. And Philemon shares that same love for Jesus and love for others. It's a love for all the saints. Think about it for a second. It's not selective, is it? Philemon's love is not selective just to these here, but not to those over there. He loves all the saints, it says. And Paul hears about his love for all the saints. All the saints. And so we see here, don't we, that as Christians, we're not to be Christians in isolation. We're to live a life shared together in prayer by our common faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But also in love, as we love Jesus, we are to love one another. We are to live a life shared in the church body. So we ask the question tonight, are we interested in others like Paul was interested here? Do we love others as Paul expresses his love for Philemon and for others? And as Philemon expresses his love for others, does that describe you this evening? Does that describe me? Are we like this? If we are part of the body of Christ, which we are, if we're believers, then we share that same common faith. We're therefore to share that same love and concern for others. Paul says elsewhere that we are members of his body, of the body of Christ, speaking of the church. And that therefore we should have equal concern, he says, equal concern or care for each other. Sort of follows on from this morning's sermon in some ways, that compassionate heart for others. As we said this morning, that compassion should flow out of the Christian life, and so we shouldn't be surprised if that pops up again here, should it? Should we? That compassion, that interest in other people, to know others and to love them. And just as Philemon was a refreshment to others, so we too are to be refreshment to others by that living and sharing and loving together. Encourage one another. Encourage one another in prayer. As we come together to pray, Whether it's in the prayer meeting midweek, don't neglect that time to come together as the body of Christ, the church here, to meet together. Whether it's the men's breakfast on Saturday, men, be there at the men's breakfast to pray together and to encourage one another. Whether it's the ladies as they meet together again, meet together, share together in prayer and in faith, speaking and encouraging one another as we share together our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We bring together our experiences of His grace and His mercy in our lives. We encourage one another as we share our struggles, perhaps our doubts. We can encourage and build each other up in our faith. As we love one another, as we show that compassion and that caring and that concern for one another, that should be the testimony, shouldn't it, of our lives. May this be true for you and for me. So we see firstly this shared life. The refreshing life comes from that shared life. But secondly, we see a growing faith. And we see this in verse 6. Where Paul says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. A growing faith. This verse is translated slightly differently if you have an updated NIV. And perhaps another translation. The updated NIV says, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. And that is really the essence of this verse. It's speaking about partnership together, fellowship together, being effective as we grow in our understanding of the grace of Christ. And that growing and understanding may grow as we share with one another for the sake of Christ. A growing faith, a deepening in understanding, and a coming together in partnership in the gospel. We see here this growing in fellowship, faith growing in fellowship, that mutual participation, fellowship. We're coming together tonight and we are joining together in fellowship. We are bound together because we are one in Christ. And so we fellowship together. We participate together because we are each sharing together Christ, our Saviour. It is a common faith that we share. It's not just me speaking to you, but it's you listening to me. But we're each one of us listening to Christ as He speaks to us. He comes amongst us by the Spirit. We have a fellowship, a coming together, a sharing together, a partnership, if you like. And it should be an active faith. It should be energetic in a sense that it is real and living and deepening and growing. It should be alive, a lively faith. As we rest in Christ, as we see more of His ways, as we experience His grace in our lives, our faith is energized in Him as we live out that life. It should grow, shouldn't it? And that's what Paul is speaking of here, a growing in faith, an active faith. We also see this growing faith in understanding. A deepening of understanding, or coming to full knowledge, as the ESV translates. An appreciation of every good thing, it says. The grace and the goodness of God. Every good thing which God gives us in Christ Jesus. As He saves us, and as He works in us, He conforms us to Christ Himself by the Spirit. We have life in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We are united with Him. We are bound up in Him. His life is the life that we live. And we should have a growing in understanding, as Paul speaks here. He prays for Philemon that he would have a greater understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. He desires that Philemon would come to a deeper appreciation. It's not that Philemon has arrived already. His life is a growing and a deepening in understanding and appreciation. Because that growing faith, it grows in fellowship. It grows in understanding, but it grows and it deepens in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. It's not just a head knowledge. It's not just a knowing of facts and details and looking at these things and saying, yeah, I understand these more in my head. No, it's an understanding of growing in Christ Jesus, in His life, as He lives in us through the Spirit. It's a heart relationship with Christ. It's a maturing in Christ. It's a growing. You think of a picture, don't we, of a plant growing there. And it grows as it's nurtured, as the roots grow deeper into the ground, into the soil, as it draws out nutrients, that plant grows and blossoms and flourishes. So it should be for us as believers, as we are deepened in Christ, as we appreciate Him more, as we love Him more, as our roots go deeper and deeper into Him, not just in the head, but in the heart, as we rest in Him, so we mature and grow in Christ. Paul is not content, is he, with where Philemon is? We may look at his life and think, wow, what a Christian. His love is known abroad. Everyone's heard of, Paul's heard 1,000 miles away of Philemon, his love for the saints, and his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul prays for a deeper knowledge, a deeper understanding. Grow, Philemon, Paul says. Grow in Christ. Grow in Christ. And so we too are to be growing in Christ, having a growing faith in Christ. This is to describe you this evening. And this is to describe me. We can learn lots of things, can't we, and learn and be able to understand and appreciate the details, the technical knowledge, if you like. But do we have a growing appreciation of Christ? Do you see your faith growing in Christ? Do you appreciate the Saviour more today because you love Him so much? We can settle, can't we, for thinking that we've arrived. We've come to that certain point where we plateau and we think, yeah, I've got enough knowledge now. I understand enough of the Christian life and, yeah, I can just stay here. But no, the Christian life is a life of moving forward. It's a life of moving forward, as the Israelites in the Old Testament were called out of Egypt and they came out and they moved forward, didn't they? They didn't just pitch up and say, yeah, we're out of Egypt now, we'll stay here. This is fine. No, they're in the desert. They've got to move forward and move forward. And as they move forward, they learn more of the Lord's ways as He teaches and trains them through that desert experience. So we, as a church and as a people, and as individuals that make up that church, are to move forward and to grow in our understanding and in our appreciation of Christ. Paul puts it this way in Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, to walk in Him, to move forward in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness as we grow in Christ, being rooted in Him. And this growing in faith experience, which should be our experience, will lead to a life that is refreshing to others and an encouragement to one another. As we grow together, as we as a church grow together in our common faith in Christ Jesus, there is refreshment, isn't there? Refreshment in Christ. And encouragement in Christ. Fresh each other in fellowship, in partnership. As we seek to grow and we seek to desire growth in others, as we seek to build each other up, discipleship, as we come together, as we look out for one another in fellowship. That is being a refreshment, isn't it, to another. We refresh one another in understanding as we grow deeper in our appreciation. We don't keep that to ourselves. We share with others. We share with others the grace of God, how Christ is working in our lives, and we encourage one another. We refresh one another as we share that evidence of life. And we refresh each other, don't we, in Christ Himself. As we are rooted in Him, as we rest in Him, as we acknowledge what He has done for us in every good thing, that faith becomes energized. Every time we meet together should be that experience, shouldn't it? As we fellowship together, it should be a growing in faith together in community. And so we see this evening this refreshing life flows out of a shared life. It comes from a growing faith. And then thirdly, we see this refreshing love that Paul speaks of in verse 7. Paul says, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." Paul speaks here of great joy and encouragement. Much joy. Big joy. Great joy. Why? Because Philemon's love for all the saints was evidence of his faith in Christ. Because Philemon said, "Yes, I believe that Jesus is my Saviour." His life demonstrated that by his love and his compassion and his care and concern for others. And so for Paul, this was like finding fruit on the tree. You plant the seed, the tree grows, and you expect fruit. You expect to find that fruit growing on the tree. And when you find it, if you planted the seed yourself and you waited all those years, you'll be encouraged and have great joy, wouldn't you? And so Paul, as he hears of Philemon's continued walk, his continued growing in grace, his love for the saints, it brings Paul great joy as he sees this evidence of life. And it's an encouragement to Paul. It's as if Philemon has come alongside Paul while he's in the prison and encouraged Paul there. He's come right alongside. Real and tangible comfort just by hearing about Philemon and his life. Such an interest Paul has for others. Such an interest Paul has for Philemon, and a concern. It was like he was there himself as he shares in Philemon's experiences. And it brings him great joy. As we hear about others, we can become quite distanced, can't we, from those realities of other people's lives. But we should be so interested, shouldn't we, and concerned for others, that we should be encouraged and have joy for them and sorrow for them when they are sad. We should be so concerned for others as Paul was here for Philemon. This refreshing love that Philemon has is a great joy and encouragement to Paul. And it touches many lives. The hearts of the saints need refreshing, and they are refreshed by Philemon. What does this mean in practice? It doesn't explain in this passage what Philemon had actually done. But no doubt there were many that had heavy hearts, who were weary at that time. We know from history it wasn't easy to live as a Christian in the first century. Perhaps there were many there that needed financial support, a place to stay, a place to come and to hear teaching on the Word of God, to share together. Perhaps Philemon, as he led in the church here, provided leadership for others. It seems he had a house and a property which was able to provide that kind of space for others. And he uses the things that he has to refresh the hearts of others. And so Philemon touches many lives. He touches the lives of those local to him in Colossae. and further afield, as is evidenced by Paul as he hears about Philemon while he's in Rome. The church was a network, wasn't it, of churches, encouraging one another and building each other up, refreshing one another as they walked and lived the Christian life together. And we see this resulting in thanksgiving. This was the basis of Paul's prayer here. Thanksgiving, as he gives thanks to God. It was God's work. He had saved Philemon. He was building him up. The Lord Jesus Christ was living in Philemon. And our lives should always result in thanksgiving and praise as we give thanks to God. As we just read from Colossae, our lives should overflow with thankfulness. With thankfulness. Because it's because of Jesus Christ. It's because of Jesus Christ that we're here this evening. It's because of Jesus Christ that we have life and breath, but also salvation and hope of heaven. Confidence and assurance. It's because of Jesus Christ. His life living in us enables us to have that heart of compassion for others and to be a refreshment to others. As he refreshes you, so we are to refresh others. It's because of Christ. It wasn't because of Philemon's temperament. He was some kind of super person that had a super compassionate heart or character. It wasn't because of his background or his wealth or his status or his connection with Paul. It wasn't because of any of those things. It was because of Christ. And he used all the gifts that Christ had given him to refresh others. And this led Paul to thank God, to pray in thankfulness. And so we are called this evening to refresh others as Christ has refreshed you and refreshed me. As we look at Philemon here in these verses, does this describe you and me? Can you say, yes, I'm a refreshment to others, as others refresh me? I do, in honest assessment of ourselves, say, well, actually, I probably make people tired and thirsty rather than refreshed. It's a challenge as we look and are honest with ourselves. We are called to be a refreshment to others as we refresh one another. Jesus said, a new command I give to you, love one another. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Refresh one another. Have compassion toward one another. And we do this by loving together. Inclusively, not excluding some, but including each in the fellowship. We are all believers together as one church, united in Christ. And so we are to refresh one another in love together. And in practice, not just in word, but in deed as well. As we thought of this morning, how can we practically help one another in the fellowship here? To be a refreshment to others. To show that love to one another. What can I do? What can you do to be a refreshment like Philemon? And this isn't just so we can say, look at me, look what I have done. No, this is so we can give thanks to God and say, look what he has done as he works amongst us and works in his church, building us up and encouraging us and living his life in us and through us to pray to his praise and glory. All that we have comes from Jesus, from our Lord. Can we use those things, the talents that he has blessed us with, to be a refreshment to others? So ask that question tonight. What can we do? And remember and think about, how has the Lord refreshed me? He has, hasn't he? He's refreshed us with so much. When we were feeling weary, as we thought of in the opening psalm, we come tonight and we are weary. We do live in a life that is broken a world that is broken, and there is weariness and struggle and tiredness. As we come tonight, we've come to the Word of God. We've come to hear His Word and to be refreshed by the Saviour. Look to Jesus tonight and know His refreshing in your lives. And as you are refreshed, be a refreshment to others. Refresh the body of Christ. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You and we worship You tonight. You have refreshed us in Christ Jesus. You have saved us and set our feet upon the rock, that we are secure in Him. But in that security there is refreshment, as the people of Israel drank from the rock and knew that refreshment in their lives and their experience. So we are refreshed day by day in Christ Jesus. As we are parched and dry and thirsty, we are to come to Christ. Lord, help us. Forgive us for thinking that we can find refreshment in other things, those broken systems that let us down so often. And Lord, calls us to turn and to come to rest in Christ. And Lord, as You refresh us, as You have refreshed us today, we give You thanks and we praise You. Help us, Lord, to refresh others. Help us. I pray these things in Jesus' name and for Your glory. Amen. Let's conclude with our closing.